I have contacted people on New Year's Eve to close a sale, particularly when I was a targeted salesman. You needed that extra $5,000 sale to creep over the year's target. People are around, people do it, people do work. If your competitors are taking that point of view, fantastic, because it gives you the opportunity to absolutely cruise in there and crush it while they're all doing nothing. So
when everyone else is slowing to a jog, run harder, it's harder for them to catch you.
Ladies and gentlemen, the next event on the card is a heavyweight marketing bout for the small to medium business owner. In the red corner, from Paradise, Australia, is David. And in the blue corner, from an English paradise, is David.
Hello and welcome to this week's episode of David vs. David, the podcast for the small and medium business owner, where as usual for episode 70 something now, we are talking about issues and topics that affect small business owners, medium business owners in their daily lives regards marketing, websites and all good stuff like that. I'm David Pritchard here in the UK, and my co-host on the other side of the world in, at this time of the year, much sunnier Tasmania, is David Council. Good morning, David.
Hello there, how are you? I'd just like to say, before we get started, you're sitting there, it's freezing, I'm sitting here, it's warm, and I've been watching the cricket before we started today, and it's a great match. Australia's playing India, and we are giving them an absolute pasting at the moment.
Yeah, absolutely. Our regular listeners will know we have two frequent topics of conversation. One is the state of the weather on opposite sides of the world, and one is the state of cricket on opposite sides of the world. And today I woke up about an hour before this recording, and it's absolutely freezing here. We have deep frost on the ground around us for about the third or fourth day in a row, and crunching down the gravel in the morning. And David, however, on the other side of the world, is sitting there with his
t-shirt on, had the top down on the car driving to work this morning,
Bermuda shorts on, he's sipping a cocktail as he drives along, non-alcoholic of course, but his hair flowing in the wind, living the life of the 1960s hippie. I wish, anyway. But no, as you can tell, though, this is from comments like that about how cold it is here and how sunny it is down in Hobart. It's the time of year, well, it's the end of the year almost. It's heading towards New Year, and that is a time of reflection and planning for a lot of people. And that's going to be the topic of today's podcast.
Preparing for the new year.
Preparing and getting ready for the new year, yeah. Indeed. And things that might be useful on that. So, David, come on, you've done this for several years now. Well, how do you go about preparing? What gets covered?
I do. I must say, there were times when I'd sat in seminars, when I was working for someone else, listening to the consultant bang on about, planning and getting ready for the new year, and it's like yawn, yawn, yawn. This is just boring. Get to the good stuff. And you know what? This is the good stuff, because the planning that you do at the start of the year can add a fortune to your business in that next year. Ask yourself, if you did everything the same next year as you did this year, would you have a better result? Clearly, probably not is the answer. Even if economic situations remained identical, you'd still have exactly the same year, and you don't want to do that. You're looking for growth. You're looking for new challenges. You're looking for ways to find more customers, to get more repeat business, to get higher average sales. And if you're not looking for those things, you're looking for the Bermuda shorts, the thongs, the Hawaiian shirt, and you're heading to retirement. So stop kidding yourself, and let's talk about review. And don't be a dill like I was for all of those years and think, oh, geez, it's probably one I can skip. This is not one you can skip. I think that in this day and age, the sensible place to start is with your web page. Now, there are a lot of things that we've got to cover, and we really can't, get bogged down in any of these, David, but your web page, absolutely an essential starting point for any business. Have a look at the copy. If you haven't changed your copy during the year on your web page, shame on you, and know the fact that Google has begun to forget about you, and you don't want that to happen. So go in, give it a freshen. Stop thinking like the business owner and be the customer and write answers to questions and solve problems for your customers in the copy that's on your website. Do a bit of research. Think about the ways that people are searching for you. Now, 10 years ago, it was all like single word search. Now it's long trains that people are putting together, these groups of keywords. And how to, how do I do this? Or where can I find? These are things that people are putting into the search parameters. So they've got to appear somewhere in your website. It makes it easier for the search engines to find you. So get into that copy and give it a freshen. Yeah.
Now, you're not just talking about the homepage here, are you, David?
God, no. The website.
The actual whole website, indeed. Because it's something, I'd just like to put a caveat on that. You know, by all means, add more content and, as you say, freshen up, add new content and stuff. But we're not talking about saying, oh, here's my homepage. I better change the look and feel of it a little bit because it hasn't been touched for a year. Do that with caution. Do that with testing. If you've got a homepage that's good, you don't necessarily want to change a good homepage. You want to constantly monitor and test it, do some split testing and so on. But I think David's comment there, I just wanted to put a caveat on that. If you haven't done anything to your website in the last year or 6 months or 3 months or even month, you've got a stagnant website and you want to be thinking and planning out where can we add content to this, what kind of content are our customers looking for. And as David said there, the nature of search has changed enormously and Google has changed its algorithms. And if you are looking at long tail keyword searches, as David was saying, the how to's, and my cousin in America, she was talking to me about this, and I was saying about how Google was changing and favouring longer key searches, longer term searches for the things. And she, oh great, she says, because I'm full of, whenever I type something, I run off the end of the line. But people do, they write longer things, they're becoming more aware that if they type just a couple of words in, they're going to get a lot of generic results that don't actually answer their specific query. So they're typing longer results in to really, really focus down on the thing that they want. Add more content to your website, but plan it. I mean, this is what we're talking now, is that you want to be thinking, what's my plan for website content over the next couple of months, year ahead, whatever, certainly in the next couple of months, you can reasonably come up with half a dozen to a dozen topics to have a content planned for.
Absolutely. And remember, Google doesn't care what your web page looks like. It's your customers that you're trying to satisfy with. Absolutely. The look of the website. Google is only interested in content, how long people stay on your page, how fast your page loads, how relevant it is to the answer to a type of keyword search. So, if you're going to try and play the Google game, then they're the things that you need to think about. But honestly, we've said it time and time again, don't play the Google game. Play the game that is, how can I help my customer?
Yeah, help your customers, help yourself.
Yeah, perfect. That's exactly it. Now, another thing on your website, and I came across one of these today, and that's why it's absolutely at the top of my brain, is this client said to me, oh, Dave, I've had such a great year. I have added 619 pictures to my website this year. And you know what? That's a bloody good effort. And I said to him, that's sensational. And then ran a tool over it and went, and none of them have got alternate text. You're missing an opportunity from a search engine optimization point of view, and also for those people who are still operating on, Explorer version 5 or something like that, to, get an image that's going to search to its maximum for you. That's only a little one. It's not a biggie, just a little one. So look at your pictures.
Okay. I mean, we kind of covered stuff like that in recent episodes. Absolutely. Of SEO. So planning and reviewing for the year ahead.
One which is your favorite, search engine optimization, David.
Yep.
How can people just take a refreshed look at search engine optimization for their website?
Well, it's kind of as you were saying there a few minutes ago, you want to be looking at your posts, making sure all the things we talked about, you want to make sure that posts have got good page titles, they've got good headings, and more than anything, you want to be just adding more content with good page titles, with good headings and so on, and images that are named and with alt text that makes sense and so on. Do a review, stick some of the phrases that you want to be appearing for into Google and see where you come. And then, if you've got posts that you put out where, if you type the heading of the post into Google, see where you come. And then you want to be thinking, do some keyword research. Are these posts that are going to get traffic? Look at your Google Analytics and Yeah, this is a good one. If you review your Google Analytics from your website and see what pages people have been going to.
Yeah.
If you find that, you've had 1,000 visitors to a post on Blue Widgets for Christmas, something like that. If you think you're getting 1,000 visits on that, then you might be thinking, you know, we ought to be making some more content about that. People are interested in that page. Let's make another couple of three pages about it. You don't have to revamp your whole website about it, but create three or four blog articles over the next month or two. And then, you know, you can add links into that from your existing page. You can put a plugin such as yet another related post plugin, which, as you see at the bottom of some pages, it will say, you know, if you like this article, then here's some similar ones, basically, kind of thing. Lead people into your website a little bit more. Something else that Google likes is when people visit a website, if they find more content on other pages, you know, if they don't just go in, spend 3 seconds, and then back out, that's not good from Google's point of view. If somebody visits a web page, spends a couple of minutes reading, looking at the page, and then goes on to another page, and then goes on to another page, it's another little tick in the box as far as Google's concerned. It's proof to them that you're providing the right kind of information for people making searching on those search terms. So review Google Analytics and so on. What people have been looking at on your site already, add some more. You know, if somebody comes in a shop and they spend, they come in looking for windscreen wiper blades or something like that, but they're positioned next to irrelevant stuff in your store, people are probably going to come in, look at the windscreen wiper blades, make a decision, is it for them or not, and walk out again, or buy it, one or the other. You know, it'll be quick. But if you place that next to all the other stuff, car bulbs, accessories, mechanic kits and stuff like this, you know, you're probably going to take them down a whole route of thinking about everything else they can purchase at the same time, or whatever. It's a bit like that with your website, you know. You're encouraging them to explore further options and so on.
You've got to remember, I think, David, that search engine optimization isn't something you do, tick the box, and then never return to.
It's a constant process.
That's exactly right. I mean, how many major updates did Google make this year?
At least 3 major ones.
Absolutely. And they're the ones we know about.
They're constantly refining, constantly making tweaks and changes.
Yeah, well, someone said to me the other day that there's never a day goes by that Google hasn't changed the algorithm.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely true. Reviewing for the year, we got stuck on web pages and dived into SEO here, which is a little bit of a sidetrack, really. So I want to get you back on track.
All right.
Well, the main things that you want to be thinking about reviewing.
Social media. In the new year, embrace social media. Think about how you can get social media to work for your business. Now, remember, you don't own social media. It's a media. That's, you know, the clue's in the name. It's a media. So don't put all your information on it. Use it to lead people back to your business. Don't just put up product and price. Don't yell at people with your product and price. It's all about a relationship. Work that relationship. How can you do that in your business? How can you share information that makes you part of a community that will allow you to go and do that? I actually want to give you an example. It is a customer of mine. We do post for them, but they post as well. And these guys are just killing it. Their Facebook page is ARB Hobart. So A for Alpha, R for Robert, B for Bravo, Hobart. They're a four-wheel drive accessory company, and they love their community. And that's what they do. So it's so much information going up about it. Go and have a look, because they are a small business. You know, when they first started, I remember them saying to me, oh, Dave, I don't think this is going to work. Social media is not for us. And it is fantastic. They can drive a sale through it. They can engage their customers. They can do all sorts of things that they've never been able to do before. And they save themselves a fortune by using it. Go and check it out. ARB Hobart's Facebook page. So you should do that too for your business. Find a way to embrace your community. If you sell ink cartridges, find a way to embrace the community of people that use ink cartridges. You know, who buys ink cartridges? Probably, you know, stationery supply people, or the secretaries for the business, or, you know, someone who's sitting next to the printer. So what are they interested in? What can you communicate with them about? You know, they might be the prime people to be sending cat videos to, for all I know, but you've got to have a think about it and think about what they're interested in. Know more about the people that you're communicating with. And that actually leads me, David, to the next point, which is...
I'm just I'm just looking at ARB Hobart, mate.
Yeah, I can hear you clicking away in the background.
Absolutely right. And they've got like almost 2,000 page likes, which is pretty good for a local business. And
let me also just say that they don't focus on how many people that they've got to like their page, because they know that the name of the game is driving them from the website to the web page and getting them onto the database that's on the web page. And I can tell you that their database on their web page, much bigger than 2,000 people.
But equally, 2,000 people, it does happen because you're doing the right things. They're putting good content out here. And like I say.
Yeah, we saw the same thing that we see with a lot of people. First 60 people, God, they were tough to get. The first 300 people, they were hard. Not as hard as the first 60, but they were hard. And then you pass that 300 number and something starts to happen. Yeah, you start getting, you know, critical mass and people start talking about it and sharing it. And then away you go.
Okay.
So that takes me to my next part, which is, who are you talking to? Who is it? Who are your customers? You really need to get focused and sit down and think about, who is it that I need to communicate with so that you're communicating efficiently? You don't want to be shotgunning a message out there and just hoping that you hit something. You want to make sure that you're talking to exactly the right people about exactly the right things. So who are your customers? How old are they? What sex are they? Where do they live? What are they interested in? How many kids have they got? And talk to them.
Okay, yeah. I think what you're saying here, David, is that, you know, over the last year, 2 years, 3 years, whatever, have you lost focus on who your customer is? Are you just taking any customer? Are you scrabbling for business and taking stuff that's less profitable? Versus focusing on your target, and you know, do you just need to realign and get back on course? You know, you've drifted a little bit, and maybe you don't quite know what offerings are working for who, and maybe you lost some focus. It's a good opportunity to get back that focus and think, what do I need? You know, do envisage or analyze your best customers over the last couple of years or so. What worked for them? What can you do more of to get more of those customers, the ones that actually make you money?
Because it's so easy to get dragged off track, you know. As bushfires occur in your business, as you hear things about competitors, as people walk in and, you know, criticize you because they've forgotten how to praise, all of these things distract you from...
As you get halfway through a podcast and you talk about different stuff than you intended to.
It's so easy to lose focus. You know, God, I think we all know, you know, squirrel, hello. I can get distracted halfway through a sentence and, in fact, get distracted halfway through the next sentence. But it is so easy to do. Don't let that become your pattern. What you've got to do is during this time, make the review. And you know what? Here's a tip. Do it again during the year. You know, I think often that you can ask yourself, has this worked? Am I talking to the right person? Because otherwise, if you make a mistake, the temptation is to go, well, that doesn't work. And you walk away from a tool that could be perfect for your business, perfect for communicating with your customers. It's just that you made an implementation error at the very time when you should have been zigging, you zagged, basically. So don't walk away from it. Test, measure. They should be your mantra, and know who it is that you're talking to, because then if you do know that, then it's easier to test and measure.
Yeah. Can I just throw something in here, actually, which is something that I've been aware of for an awfully long time. You know, if you've ever worked for a business, worked for a company, and it's not your company, you know, you're sort of down the food chain or, some mid-ranking employee of another company. When you head into December, Christmas isn't far away. Probably 7 times out of 10, people are thinking about winding down. You know, what have they got to get done before the end of the year? They start ticking the boxes off. They wind down and don't open any more boxes. You know, they don't create anything new for the new year. They're in wind down mode. They're basically sort of slowing down and not planning particularly for, well, they might even planning a little bit, but they're not really opening new business, not really opening anything constructive for the future. So you're effectively introducing a 2 or 3 week lull into your work. Now, you know, if you employ people like that, well, you're paying them for doing diddly squat. If you are your own boss and you are the entrepreneur, you know, why would you do that? Don't think of Christmas and the New Year or any holiday break in the year as a reason to wind down. You know, it's something that I think can be incredibly negative if it's not done carefully. So what we're talking here about reviewing and so on, you know, it wants to happen not just now. It's a natural time to think about reviewing, but you know, part of your review ought to be planning when to review as well. So you know, you want to be reviewing every month, every quarter, for different targets, different things, and so on. So you know, planning to plan, if you like, and add that throughout the year. But you certainly don't want to be thinking, you know, we'll have a run up until early December, and then we get to like December the 15th or something, December the 20th, and then we're going to take 2 weeks and do diddly squat. Obviously, the reason that people do planning over Christmas and New Year sometimes is because they have less customers around. You know, they have less people to sell to. Conversely, I've sold some of my largest sales in the week between Christmas and New Year. You know, I have contacted people on New Year's Eve to close a sale, particularly when I was a targeted salesman. You know, you needed that extra $5,000 sale to creep over the year's target. People are around, people do it, you know, people do work. If your competitors are taking that point of view, fantastic, because it gives you the opportunity to absolutely cruise in there and crush it while they're all doing nothing. So
when everyone else is slowing to a jog, run harder. It's harder for them to catch you.
Yeah, don't take your eye off the ball at that time of year. You know, just because it's a good time to do a review doesn't mean it's a good time to slow every other aspect of your business down. And really, reviewing like this should be not just an annual thing. It should be a regular thing throughout the year. So plan that. If that's part of your review at the moment, plan that into the review for later on. You know, when am I going to review these again? And what are we going to do about them if it's doing this or if it's doing that? So, sorry, just my little rant there. Sorry about that. Back on track, David.
No, absolutely a great rant, because, you know, honestly, you want to be rich, you want to be able to have a great lifestyle, then that's one of the one percenters that you have got to do. You cannot slow down. You have to always outrun the pack. And there are ways to outrun the pack that don't involve having to work harder. It's about working smarter. And I realize that that's a cliche, but you know what? It's the truth. And there is, you know, there are plenty of people who don't understand why other people succeed and they don't. And that is one of the one percenters that you've got to do. Otherwise, you know, go and work for someone else. Go and work for someone rather than working for yourself. And then you can take that cruisy attitude, and it's someone else's issue to worry about, and they'll be listening to this podcast, and they'll be the ones who are going, yeah, you know what? I have got to lose that guy. He is
first
dead
weight. He's first out the door in my New Year review. Yeah, absolutely.
Right, absolutely. Okay, I've got another one for you, a bit of a callback to the website, and that is automation. Stop doing the same things over and over again. Use technology to do those things for you. On a website, it's an autoresponder. If you're not building a website off your website using an autoresponder, then make it at the top of your list. If someone sends you an email through your Contact Us page, do you capture that data? If someone asks you a question, do you capture that data? Do you offer people information exchange on your website? You should be doing that. Ask yourself, oh my God, that is such a simple thing to do. Why am I not doing that? Why have I ignored the previous 70 odd podcasts where they have said this before? Just do it. Start building a database.
Yeah. Do you know, one of my biggest mistakes or regret, when I first got into building websites and stuff, that the first website I built was in a niche market. It targeted people really well. And I think in 2 years, it got 250,000 visits, which was no bad thing for a first website. Do you know how many names are captured off that?
Oh, geez, I'm going to hopefully say 200,000, but I fear that you might say zero.
Yeah, zero. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Biggest mistake I made. It was just I didn't have anything to any sense to, you know, I was just making sales. I mean, don't get me wrong, the website made sales, but there was absolutely no follow-up whatsoever. And that was probably, I don't know, 8 years ago, something like that. Gosh, learned from that one. So
look, if your website only has in the, you know, low hundreds of people visiting it every week, let's say you have 200 people a week going to your website. You know, that's over, it's almost 10,500 people a year going to your website. Shouldn't you be capturing that information? Wouldn't it be great to know who they were? It'd be really cool to be able to sell even 10% of those people something from your business that you're not doing right now. Imagine adding an extra 1,000 sales to your business for the year. It'd just be sensational. And you could be doing that. You're just watching them come and go and not even think about it. How many people, David, do you talk to on a yearly basis and say to them, so how often do you check the statistics on your website? And they go,
absolutely.
You know, you get that awkward shifting. It's like, oh, I don't know that I've ever done that.
I know I should have done it, but I never have indeed. Yeah,
that's right.
I do this for a local restaurant business, and you know, it took them a year to be persuaded to have an email list building up from people that visited their website. And a good little website, small town, it gets a couple of thousand visits a month. So it's getting about 25, 30,000 visits a year maybe to the website. And we started building a list after a year. And you know, now whenever they've built a list of around about 1,000 people off that, whenever they have a new menu, an event such as a Christmas menu or a Valentine's menu, whatever, you know, they stick out an email, and it's just like, you know, the phone goes off the hook, and they've packed out. You know, they've sold out for all the busy nights, all the filling up nights, all the, you know, Valentine's night, that's New Year's Eve, sells out within a couple of hours, and so on and so on. So they built an asset that, imagine how easy that is. You know, it's half an hour to create an email with a couple of nice images on it and the right text and links to the menus and stuff. You know, you put the menus up on the website on a new page, you know, I've added some fresh content and stuff like that, and another few pages about why to visit the restaurant and stuff. And, you know, stick out an email and bash, that's, you know, several thousand pounds worth of business just rolls in over the next few hours and, you know, in terms of bookings and stuff. You know, how easy is that for a small business? So yeah, automation, and you know, they follow up. They have stuff. So quite commonly for a restaurant, if you can get the information, perhaps not in the first instance, but we do it, and most people give it. Just your birth month. What month were you born in? Mm. So you know, a month before, 2 months before, you email everybody on that list with birthdays in January, and you know, why not have a party? Why not come and celebrate your birthday at our place? So it's an automated thing. You know, the system goes through, it checks out when who do we email at the beginning of this month or at this point in the month, and it's everybody with birthdays in 6 weeks or 2 months' time. Brilliant, absolutely easy. Right then,
two more things that we've got to cover, and we have already just gone past our limit. So let me just get through them. Work less in your business and work more on your business. Once again, it's a cliche, I know that, but it is such a great piece of advice. There should be some guy sitting up on top of a mountain handing out little business cards with just that written on it. Work less in your business and more on your business. Empower your staff to make decisions. You know what? They will make mistakes. That's okay. Correct, modify, and let them do it, because the more they do that, the less you have to do it.
Indeed, and that's the biggest mistake.
Yes, absolutely. So focus on you thinking about your business. You'll make more money if you're thinking about ways to improve your business and communicate better with your clients and having better relationships with your client than you will working in your business. If you've got a bricks and mortar shop and you're spending too much time on the floor, you are losing an opportunity to grow your business. You should actually roster yourself on the floor and off the floor so that you get time to do it. And you know what? It's hard to do at the start. I know that. Please don't think that I don't. It is genuinely hard to do it. But stick to it. Force your staff, force yourself to do it. Because if you rescue them all of the time, they will let you.
Yeah, absolutely.
So don't do that. Help them find the great people that they are inside by trusting them and giving them power and giving them an opportunity for constructive criticism to correct any mistake that they make.
Yep.
If you take nothing else out of this podcast, walk away with that, you'll have a better business this year.
Yes, that's absolutely true.
And the final thing is review everything. Doesn't matter whether it's working or not. Look at it, evaluate it, and just ask yourself, is there anything in what I'm doing here that could be improved on? Were there any instances during the year that this system, how can I fix that? You don't have to fix everything. This is not, you know, Eddie the expert fixes everything all in one day. But if you don't ask yourself, if you don't find that time to review and ask yourself these questions, You will continue to allow the same things to happen over and over again. You will end up frustrated. You will end up burnt out, and you will end up not enjoying what it is that you do. Owning a business and running your own business is an absolute joy 99.9% of the time. Don't get me wrong, that everyone's going to have a bad day. But if you don't fix these things, if you don't review things, then you're chaining yourself to a wheel.
Yeah.
The good things, the bad things, the things that work, the things that don't, look at them all. You know, small businesses are massively powerful in the economy, and small changes can make huge differences. And if you don't believe that that something small can make a huge difference, think about that the next time you're asleep in a bedroom and there's a mosquito in there with you. Or the next time you go for a walk and there's a tiny little rock in your shoe. Those two small things, I don't know about you, but I find them bloody annoying. So small things make big differences. You can make a huge difference to your business. All you've got to do is find the time. And you know what? At Christmas, if you've got a day where you're shutting down and I know it's nice to be able to sit down with, you know, a drink and relax and spend time with family. Don't spend the whole day. Find an hour a day while you're taking a break at Christmas, or find an hour a day for every weekend between now and the end of January, and just do it. You will send me emails thanking me for it. Just do it.
Indeed. I agree with that completely. So, David, as ever, I think we've covered a lot of ground in our episodes. It's always full-on content with the occasional sidetrack and the occasional rant from me, whatever. but good content, I hope. And I hope our listeners find that. If you want to find more episodes, then davidversusdavid.com is the website. The Facebook page is facebook.com/davidversusdavid. And as ever, of course, iTunes, where you can find all the other episodes, leave reviews, say what you think, and give us a 5-star review. Go on, twist your arm. If you've never done one before, make it a little present to us this year. We keep doing these. We hope you like the content. We hope you find them useful. There's loads of good stuff out there in davidversusdavid.com. Check out some of the episodes: SEO, automation, social media marketing, radio ads, print advertising, and so on and so on and so on, competitions, brochures. We've covered a lot. We have a whole repository of marketing nuggets here, gold nuggets of marketing wisdom and business automation and stuff like that that you really, you know, be worthwhile spending a little bit of time flicking through them if you haven't already, and listen to some of the earlier episodes.
We genuinely love doing this. We look forward to it every week when we have our chance to talk to each other on either side of the world and share what we know with you. So, you know, take advantage of it. I wish this had existed when I first was starting business, and it just didn't. So, you know, it's our gift to you every week.
Indeed. I think for me here, it's about time we wrapped up, really. We're let our listeners get on with their reviewing planning for their year ahead. From me, David Pritchard, here in the UK, it's all the best. Until next week.
And for me, it's come on, Australia. Go, you cricketers. And we'll talk to you again next week, gang. Take care.
You have just been listening to the David versus David podcast with David Pritchard and David Council, helping you get knockout results with your online marketing and advertising. Please keep in mind that the ideas, opinions, and information shared in the show are those of the hosts and do not reflect those of their past employers.